I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the National Hockey League. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps during the season. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get podcasts. So in today's Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, we are going to look through the protected lists for teams heading into the expansion draft and basically look at where there are some surprises, some difficult choices, what have you. I am going to do my own expansion team, but I want another day to spend my time going through the Cap Friendly app and selecting players, following the rules, etc., etc. So we're going to go through, look through the surprises. But first, Nashville Predators defense prospect Luke Prokop has come out today as gay. And this is a really significant moment in hockey history. It will be more significant if Prokop, who was the third round pick in 2020, if he can make it to the NHL. But efforts at diversity in sports often fall flat because straight white men don't consider the effects on marginalized communities. It is enormously important to have representation to inspire youth who may be in the same situation. If Luke Prokop turns into a legit National Hockey League player, there will surely be teenage hockey players who keep pushing forward because they know it can be done. Just imagine how difficult it is for a kid like Prokop to show up to the rink every day. And look, I don't know how teenagers are today. I'm hopeful they're more positive and enlightened than in my generation. But I suspect that Prokop has at least come across homophobia in the course of his hockey career. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, help you kind of keep this in the closet. You keep it secret for a long time, and that secret can eat away at you. And so, you know, if this is what's going to make Luke Prokop free and happy and enjoy playing hockey, outstanding. And he should know that he has an army of fans in his corner. So wishing nothing but the best for Luke Prokop as he tries to progress forward in his hockey career under really unprecedented circumstances. So great for him. Now let's move on, and we will take a look at the protected lists for the expansion draft and where there might be some surprises. And we'll just do this alphabetically. So with the Anaheim Ducks, they protected Nick Deslauriers, which Deslauriers has 1 year left on a deal with a $1 million cap hit. I suppose he's, you know, moderately priced. But, I mean, he's a fourth-line winger who, you know, he'll fight a little bit. And is that the appeal? Is that does that make it worth keeping Nick Deslauriers? But they're protecting him ahead of Danton Heinen, Sonny Milano, Derek Grant. And in some ways, as we go through these lists, you'll see there are cases where teams are basically daring Seattle to take a certain player. And, you know, maybe the player's got an undesirable contract. And really, that's a calculation that teams should be making is, do we have a contract here that is really unlikely Seattle is going to take? So even if you like the player and don't want to lose him, maybe you recognize that he's not in a financial situation that would really be ideal for a new team, and so you don't protect that player. And we'll see how that plays. But I mean, guys like Danton Heinen and Derek Grant aren't exactly high priced tickets, and so the fact that they're not being protected in place of someone like Nick Deslauriers is a little interesting. For Arizona, not huge surprises there, but they did protect defense prospect Kyle Capobianco ahead of Ilya Lyubushkin, pardon me. And, I mean, some of this, Lyubushkin has at least proven that he's an NHL defenseman. He's 27 years old. Now, Capobianco is just 23, but I guess the hope here is that Capobianco is going to be a legitimate NHL defenseman in the coming seasons. And I mean, Arizona's got a bunch of unrestricted free agent defensemen this year, so there will be opportunities on that blue line. And so if you look at the decision to protect Capobianco, you would have to think that there's some expectation that he's going to be playing for the Coyotes next year. But so far, he's played 14 NHL games over the past four seasons. Boston Bruins protected Trent Frederick, who is, at this point, he's basically a fourth-line guy who adds some toughness and will bang bodies, and certainly that's fine, and he's a fan favorite in Boston because of that. But he really hasn't established himself a whole lot in the National Hockey League, and the Bruins are protecting him ahead of Andre Kasha, not a surprise because Kasha is just perpetually injured, and Nick Ritchie. Now, you know, Richie is a restricted free agent, and so maybe a little less likely to get selected in the expansion draft because of all the various rules and requirements. And so this might be Boston basically trying to come out with the best of both worlds, is that if they think Richie is unlikely to get selected as a restricted free agent, you know, and maybe, you know, Boston's kind of group of young defensemen who are available, maybe that'll be more attractive to Seattle. But in Boston's case, if they could end up with Richie and Frederick on the team next year, they're probably going to be okay with that. For Buffalo, now the Sabres protected Rasmus Asplund, which is maybe a little bit of a surprise. He was a guy who was kind of getting ticketed for Seattle in a lot of mock drafts previously. But once Jeff Skinner waived his no movement clause, that did kind of open up an opportunity there for the Sabres to protect Asplund. Cody Eakin and Zemgus Girgensons are both available up front for Buffalo. And really, if you're a rebuilding team like Buffalo, it makes sense that a prospect like Asplund, who's inexpensive and seems to be on the way up in his career, would make more sense as a protected player. For Calgary, not a lot of surprises for the Flames. It basically came down to a choice between Chris Tanev and Mark Giordano. And maybe coming into the season, the expectation might have been, well, that they could leave Tanev exposed. But Tanev played so well for Calgary this year that I think once you decide that you have to keep Chris Tanev, Mark Giordano becomes available. And you know, Giordano is obviously closer to the end of his career, but he's still a quality defenseman. And even if he's pricey, he's going into the last year of his deal. So Seattle could take Giordano and flip him somewhere. They could take him and play him during the season. And if they're out of contention, they could trade him at the deadline. I think there are a lot of options for Calgary there, but or for Seattle with Calgary's players there. So it does appear that the Tanev and Giordano decision was really the most complicated one of all, and it really wasn't that complicated. The Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe a little bit of a surprise. They protected winger Warren Fogle ahead of Nino Niederreiter. But while it might seem a bit of a surprise, it's probably not, because Fogle's still a much cheaper middle six winger. And that's sort of where Niederreiter fits on this team. And so, you know, maybe it doesn't make as much sense for Carolina to be paying more than $5 million for Niederreiter if you can get Fogle. Now, part of the deal is that Fogle, for as much as he's driven play to this point in his career, is not a huge finisher. And so you might be, you know, losing a little bit there, but Niederreiter also tends to be a little streaky at that end too. So, and then, I mean, there's the option here is that defenseman Jake Bean is available for Carolina, and it's possible Carolina's not going to lose Niederreiter either. So, but I guess I can understand the choice to protect Fogle ahead of Niederreiter. In Chicago, Chicago has protected defensemen Caleb Jones and Riley Stillman, who are both relatively young and unproven at the National Hockey League level, and leaving exposed Calvin DeHaan and Nikita Zadorov. And now, you know, Jones and Stillman are cheaper, and what that could do is help Chicago get set up for a major acquisition in the summer. And whether that's signing a big free agent or making a big trade, if you end up losing DeHaan or Zadorov and that money goes off the books, well, that does make things a little easier if you're trying to swing a big deal. Now, for Colorado, now, I mean, this is a team who had, you know, a real challenge with their protected list because their team is really good. And so they've protected Tyson Jost and Logan O'Connor, who are relatively young forwards. That leaves Jonas Donskoy and JT Compher available. And, I mean, they cost a little bit more. Donskoy and Compher are more proven than Jost and O'Connor. But if you're Colorado and you have any designs on trying to re-sign Gabriel Landeskog or Philip Grubauer, some of your kind of big-ticket free agents, and you've got a restricted free agent deal coming for Cale Makar, you're probably trying to save as many nickels as you can. And if that means losing Donskoy or Compher, then so be it. For Columbus, the Blue Jackets protected winger Eric Robinson instead of Max Domi. And again, this is a much cheaper player, but it also, because of that, I guess it shouldn't be a huge surprise because Domi is making more than $5 million against the cap, but Columbus really needs playmaking forwards. So their willingness to leave Domi available is, you know, a bit of an eye opener, I'd say. For Dallas, There are no surprises, I don't think, for the Stars. Between their no move clauses and kind of where the other players fit on their team, I don't think there was much debate to be had. And they might have had the most clear-cut protected list of all 30 teams. So that will get us through Dallas. When we come back, we will take a look at starting with Detroit and continue on through these protected lists. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have a bunch of great flavors, and that includes coconut and cherry barcia and raspberry and mint brownie and double chocolate and salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Now, my favorite flavor of those is salted caramel, but there's such a great variety there. It should be something for everyone. And if you haven't tried all those flavors, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar where you get two of each of those flavors. Sample them, decide which ones you like, and then you can order more of those. And now, not only do you have this great variety of flavors, and they're covered in 100% chocolate, so it tastes great. It tastes like a good snack, and they're healthy. They're good for you. They are loaded with protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. So if you order today, get grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. But Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty great. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, so continuing on through some surprises in the protected list for the expansion draft, and we're up to the Detroit Red Wings, where they protected defense prospect Gustav Lindstrom ahead of Troy Stecher and Dennis Cholowski, I mean, among others on the blue line. But, you know, Cholowski is also a prospect like Lindstrom, and this would seem to be a vote of confidence for one over the other. And then Stecher is he's established and a proven NHL defenseman. And maybe Stecher is going to be the obvious one to go to Seattle here. But when you kind of look at that in place of, you know, what Detroit has on their blue line, I'm not sure they can afford to be giving up established and proven NHL defenseman. So that's an interesting selection anyway. The Edmonton Oilers. And the interesting thing here for the Oilers is really who they had to protect. And so kind of the last two spots, I would guess, that were protected up front were Josh Archibald and Zach Cassian, who are not great options, but it also... It's not like the Oilers had great options aside from them. I mean, you might look to Dominic Cahoon or Tyler Benson as possibilities to protect, but it seems like a failure in terms of talent on the roster to have players the likes of Josh Archibald and Zach Cassian requiring protection in the expansion draft. They're just, I mean, Archibald is a blue-collar, hardworking player. Any team would be happy to have a player like that on their roster. He is not the type of player that you should be protecting when you only get to protect seven forwards. So anyway, that's the Edmonton Oilers. Florida Panthers, they kind of had a choice, and not surprisingly, as we go through these, is that they happen to choose the one that doesn't cost quite as much, and that's they kept Mason Marchment ahead of Frank Vetrano. Now, that's not a shocking choice, but, you know, Vetrano is a little bit more proven in the league, has scored more and costs a little bit more, with $2.5 million cap hit compared to Marchment at $800,000. And that might be what drives the decision there. For the Los Angeles Kings, they have kind of an interesting group, and it's not as though this is a massive surprise that they protected Elias Anderson, a prospect, and Trevor Moore, who played pretty well for them last season. But they took those two ahead of Andreas Athanasiou or Blake Lizotte. You know, those, as I say, these aren't huge surprises, but there were real choices to be made there. And that's how the Kings went. For Minnesota, again, no real surprises, but that's basically because once they bought out Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, which were fairly huge surprises, that kind of cleared things out. And the Wild kept Ryan Hartman, Nico Sturm up front, and the decision to buy out Suter allows them to keep Matt Dumba. And really, there will be books to be written about the things that the Minnesota Wild have done in expansion drafts to make sure that they can keep Matt Dumba. And so that was sort of a problem area for them into the Vegas expansion experience. I understand the decision that they're moving on from Parise and Suter, the cost that it's going to incur on their cap not this coming season, but in the three seasons after that, is massive. And I don't know how they're going to overcome it, but best of luck to them. The Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens have made some interesting choices here, and it also appears they're trying to game the system a little bit. But they've protected unrestricted free agent winger Yoel Armia, as well as Jake Evans, their fourth line center, over Jonathan Drouin, who had taken leave from the team for mental health issues late in the season, and did not return through Montreal's Stanley Cup run. And so obviously there's uncertainty about the future of Jonathan Drouin. And maybe this is a case of you leave Jonathan Drouin available and because he would like to play somewhere other than Montreal. And if that option is there for Seattle, maybe that's, and Drouin would be okay with it, then maybe that's the play here. And there's nothing to really discuss. At the same time, we got Carey Price waived his no move clause, so he could be exposed in this, and this you might expect, you know, given the money on Carey Price's contract and his age, and that he's not exactly the prime candidate to play for an expansion team. But you know, if you're Seattle and you saw what happened with Marc-Andre Fleury in Vegas, and you just saw what happened with Carey Price in this year's playoffs, you might be tempted. Whether you're tempted on Carey Price, I still think you should probably, you know, do a double take at a cap hit of over $10 million. But you can at least see that Seattle is interested in exploring what it might be if they have Carey Price. Because if they decide to have Carey Price, you probably play to contend right away, at least be a playoff team. And they're in the Pacific Division, which looking ahead to next season does not look like it's going to be especially strong. I mean, we don't know yet. Rosters obviously aren't settled, but given where those teams finished in 2021, it does look like the Pacific Division should be relatively weak. And so there's an opportunity that if Seattle drafts a strong team, that maybe they could be a playoff team, but they might be a pretty decent playoff team going in their first season. And so so the Carey Price decision is already one that's a bit of a workaround here, because they're talking about him having an injury that he needs to go get checked out in New York, and whether that's going to cause him to miss time next season, and basically it casts some doubt on if Seattle is actually thinking about taking Carey Price. Well, you certainly would want to do it if Carey Price is going to miss 3 months to start the year or whatever the case may be. And then the other issue is that Shea Weber is not protected, and if you listen to the initial reports, there's talk he might not play again. And I think, given Weber's contract, you knew the day was going to come when Shea Weber was going to end his career on long-term injured reserve, because that was the most reasonable way for this to end for a strong physical defenseman who had this contract that would take him until like 40 years old. Yes, he was unlikely to play all the way to the end. I think he played through the Stanley Cup playoffs this year and was broken and battered quite a bit, that yes, maybe he is just going to end his career on long-term injured reserve. I don't know that that's, the next stop for him. Maybe it's a year from now, maybe it's 2 years from now, I guess it's possible that Shea Weber isn't going to be, playing again. And if you're Seattle, you hardly want to tie yourself up to that kind of money with that injury risk. But in any case, it does appear that Montreal's trying to game the system a little bit between Price and Weber, and I think the league has to kind of keep an eye on it. But I also think if you're Montreal, you should be trying to game the system a little bit. I think any of these teams, if you have a certain comfort level that your player, you've had open dialogue and you've discussed it with them, then I think you should be able to make some of these decisions that might not seem the right thing on the surface. But if you've talked with Carey Price and you feel comfortable that he's not going to end up in Seattle, then maybe that's the decision, so that you get Price and Jake Allen as part of the goaltending tandem in Montreal next year. Now, if Price gets selected, Montreal is going to hit scramble mode looking for a new goaltender. But, you can jump off that bridge when they get to it. Nashville, they protected winger Tanner Janot, and I support this. He had a nice season, or shortened season, in the American Hockey League this year, and got called up to play for Nashville late in the season, and kind of delivered some offense and a physical game, and looks like a player that you do want to keep. But Nashville is keeping just 3 forwards and 5 defensemen, and that means Janot is being protected ahead of, well, naturally ahead of Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, two centers who have cap hits of $8 million per season and lots of term left. You can leave them out there because in terms of their value on the trade market, it's basically negative trade value. No one would be offering up real assets to take on those contracts. And so in the case of Seattle, if you're daring them effectively to take one of those guys, and if Seattle does that, well, if you're Nashville, you're grateful to have a little bit more flexibility under the cap. But in this case, so Janot gets kept ahead of Johansson and Matt Duchene and Kelly Yarncroke and Nick Cousins and Rocco Grimaldi and Yakov Trenin. So there's a whole cast of forwards available for Seattle to choose from. In New Jersey, not huge surprises, but maybe... you know, they naturally went to the cheaper players. They went to Jani Kukkonen up front ahead of Andreas Johnsson. And now that might have not been the plan a year ago when Johnsson was brought in from Toronto, and maybe expectations were higher and he didn't have a great season. And so, you can maybe hope that Seattle takes on a contract with more than $3 million cap in on it. And then on defense, they've protected Jonas Siegenthaler ahead of PK Subban and Will Butcher. And so in the case of Subban, I mean, he's only got 1 year left on his deal, but it's over a $9 million cap hit, which is awfully steep, particularly for a player that hasn't been playing very well. And then in the case of Butcher, well, I mean, he had seemed to fall out of favor with the Devils, but certainly offers more offensive upside than Siegenthaler and as a puck-moving defenseman. And so those were definitely some choices there in the case of the Devils. Speaking of choices, the New York Islanders have protected Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck, leaving Jordan Eberle and Josh Bailey exposed. Now, I mean, Eberle and Bailey are clearly better players, but they're also much more expensive. And if you're the Islanders, maybe you're willing to risk losing one of those players because you figure you could add a second-line winger if Josh Bailey gets picked up, for example, or Jordan Eberle gets picked up. You could add a second-line winger in free agency at probably less than the cost for those guys, and maybe you don't miss too much in the grand scheme of things. Now, remember, the Islanders' protected list for Vegas was a strange-looking list too, but they had made deals with Vegas for who was going to get selected, and maybe there's something to be said here about the Islanders and their deal with Seattle. Because, I mean, protecting Martin and Clutterbuck is just, it's bizarre. On the surface, those aren't the kind of players that you should feel like you need to protect from others. The New York Rangers, for their last forward spot, there were some decisions to be made, and they ended up protecting Kevin Rooney, a fourth-line center who's fine. But again, this is not the kind of player you would think you need to protect from other teams. But if you look at who he's ahead of, well, Barclay Goodrow, who the Rangers, acquired from Tampa Bay so that they have negotiating rights. I suppose it's a little presumptuous of the Rangers to make this acquisition for Barclay Goodrow, and maybe they have a deal ready to go for Goodrow. But it would be interesting if Seattle was so enamored with Barclay Goodrow that they then claimed him and then took a shot at negotiating with him too. But then Julian Gauthier and Colin Blackwell, I think those guys were kind of expected to be made available for the most part. And so the fact that it ends up being Kevin Rooney ahead of them is not a huge surprise, I suppose. But the interesting thing for the Rangers is that they have, enough young forwards who aren't eligible to be protected. So it does allow them to go a little bit deeper on their depth chart. So when we come back, we will finish up with more expansion protected list surprises. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. It includes Major League Baseball, but the NBA, NHL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, down the home stretch we come with protected lists and surprises for the expansion draft, and we'll continue with the Ottawa Senators, who protected Austin Watson, who's kind of fourth-line agitator, tough guy, and Logan Brown, who's kind of a perpetual prospect who hasn't really made an impact yet in the National Hockey League, ahead of Evgeny Dadonov and Chris Tierney. Now, Tierney has been a pretty solid third-line center for most of his career, and Dadonov did not have a great first season for the Sens and has a cap hit of over $5 million. Not a huge surprise that Ottawa would leave that out there, but I suppose Tierney being a relatively solid player and the fact that he's made available is a little bit interesting. In Philadelphia, the Flyers were already looking at having some big tickets available. James Van Riemsdyk and Shane Gostisbehere are both unprotected, and that's not a real surprise. But the Flyers also protected winger Nicholas Obey-Kubel, which put him in ahead of Jakub Voracek. And now Voracek is pricey. He's got a cap hit of $8.25 million, and that might be enough alone when you say it's for the next three seasons to keep him out of Seattle. But there's the choice that the Flyers are sort of putting to the Kraken, that you know, you could get a legitimately skilled winger here in Jakub Voracek if you're willing to take on that contract. Pittsburgh. Now, before their official protected list came out, Pittsburgh, it was reported that Mark Friedman, the defenseman, was going to be on their protected list, and that seemed a bit of a surprise to me, but we have others. And so Pittsburgh ultimately protects Teddy Bluger, who's a good checking center, but ahead of Jason Zucker and Brandon Tanev. Now, this isn't a massive shock, but that's, again, a bit of an investment in a checking center who doesn't cost quite as much, because Zucker is pricier, and Tanev has longer term on his deal. And then on defense, the Penguins ultimately did not protect Friedman. They protected Mike Matheson. And really, that's sort of doubles my surprise, because I would have expected Marcus Pettersson to be the one who would get protected there for the Penguins. And so, I mean, I guess if you're Seattle and you decide you like Marcus Pettersson, well, that's pretty easy. You take him and go. But it really says something, I guess, about where Pittsburgh values Pettersson, in that Matheson and possibly Friedman would have been protected ahead of him. And so that's an interesting choice, because Pettersson is in his mid-20s and has had successful results as a defender for the past few years. I'm not sure why the Penguins are deciding that they're trying to leave him available. In San Jose, for one, they don't have a lot of depth of talent to kind of compete for these spots. But you can look at their last forward spots. They've got Jonathan Dahlin, who hasn't played in the league yet, and Rudolph Balcers. They're being protected ahead of Ryan Donato, who, you know, is a half decent middle six winger. But you know, given that the Sharks are probably, you know, pinning some hopes to Dahlin and hoping that he can make the transition to the National Hockey League and be a productive forward for them. And Balcers has been decent in small samples for them. So, as I say, not a huge surprise, but Donato, you know, if we're looking at next season, who might be the safer bet, it could be Ryan Donato. In St. Louis, it appears the bridges are burning between Vladimir Tarasenko and the Blues, and the Blues have now left Tarasenko available in the expansion draft, and they protect Ivan Barbashev. And I don't know how much of this is the Blues really want to protect Ivan Barbashev, or they're fine not protecting Vladimir Tarasenko and leaving him and his $7.5 million cap hit out there to be had. And so I think that'll be an interesting choice for Seattle, because one, you don't have a long term left, a couple years for Tarasenko. The question is his health. He's had three shoulder surgeries, and I mean, that's where he's run into this issue with St. Louis, is he doesn't think they handled it very well. And if it's true that they didn't handle it very well, then maybe Tarasenko's shoulders are shot, and he's not going to be, you know, the premier scoring winger that he was for so many years. And that's kind of the challenge. But if you're Seattle and you're playing to be a contender next year, and maybe you get medical reports that are reasonably positive on Vladimir Tarasenko, and you don't have to sign him up for a really long term, it might be worth it. So we'll check that out in the future. For Tampa Bay, the Lightning made an interesting decision. I thought the Lightning, when you looked at their lineup, they were going to be prepared to expose Ryan McDonagh and basically dare Seattle to take him, because McDonagh's got a cap hit of $6.25 million, and he's got a deal that takes him until he's like 38 years old. And so why would you kind of take that risk if you're an expansion team? That's probably not something you want. Now, if you're Seattle, you might have taken Ryan McDonagh and traded him to another team for lots of assets, because, you know, McDonagh just had a good run for his second straight Stanley Cup with Tampa Bay. You know, there's real value to him on the marketplace. But the Lightning decided to protect 4-4. And that means up front, they've got Andre Palat, Yanni Gourde, Alex Killorn, all available. And so that's some serious value for Tampa Bay, or for Seattle. And so Seattle can look at those players and start kind of deciding who has, you know, I guess the most appealing contract for long-term. And it could be somebody like Gourde, who, while he's making more than $5 million against the cap, and that might seem steep for his contributions for Tampa Bay, you also could see him being the first line center in Seattle next year, depending on how this all plays out. So it could be Gourde. Palat has obviously been a really strong contributing winger for the Lightning, as has Killorn. So the fact that Seattle is going to get a shot at any one of those guys, you know, that'll be a cornerstone piece for that team. Now, if you know, there's for quite a while, there's been some expectation that Tyler Johnson could be, you know, on his way to Seattle, and maybe the deal that Seattle's making with Tampa Bay includes Tyler Johnson going, so that they have access to one of these other players, and maybe they do get a couple of guys from the Lightning. Toronto Maple Leafs, they made this what I thought was a pretty savvy trade the other day to acquire Jared McCann from the Pittsburgh Penguins, but then decided to protect 4-4, and so that meant protecting Justin Hall on the blue line and leaving Alexander Kerfoot and Jared McCann available. And I'm not sure I get it. I think Justin Hall's fine. If you're playing him in your top four, that's not really a problem. I also don't think he's, you know, a huge impact player that you absolutely have to keep. And if it turns out here that Jared McCann gets picked up for a pretty reasonable price from Pittsburgh and then just walks away to Seattle, boy, that seems like a missed opportunity for Toronto. And so, you know, you could say that McCann is insurance against losing Alexander Kerfoot, but I mean, what if McCann's better than Kerfoot? And that now you've just lost Jared McCann, when you could have kept him if you're willing to expose Justin Hall, and you might not even lose Justin Hall. It could be Travis Dermott who goes to Seattle. In any case, Hall ahead of Kerfoot and McCann on the protected list for Toronto is an interesting choice. For Vancouver, not huge surprises. I'm not sure Tanner Pearson should be protected, and you could have, you know, protected a prospect like Cole Lind, but you know, Lind hasn't done anything in the National Hockey League yet that would warrant being protected either. And so I guess there's you know, some question, I guess, about the depth of talent that the Canucks have if they feel the need to protect Tanner Pearson, because I think his contract and production probably protects him anyway. But for Washington, now the Capitals did not protect Alexander Ovechkin, and you know that's likely because they expect to sign him as an unrestricted free agent, and I don't imagine that there's an appetite in Seattle to take on Ovechkin given his age, and so if you're Washington, you know, why use up a protected spot on Ovechkin if you've had good dialogue and you kind of know what the next deal is going to be, then that should be fine. Now, on defense, Washington did protect defenseman Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who's only got an $800,000 cap hit. And I guess it's, you know, maybe daring or hoping that Seattle takes one of your more expensive defensemen. And that's Justin Schultz and Brendan Dillon and Nick Jensen and Michael Kempney. I mean, Nick Jensen might be a quite reasonable option. I mean, if you're Seattle and you're going to probably draft more NHL defensemen than you actually need. A guy like Jensen, who's got some term on his deal and is not outrageously priced, is still pretty useful, but it's also a bit of a surprise that Van Riemsdyk, a guy who barely got into the Capitals lineup this year, that he would be protected. So let's finish things up with the Winnipeg Jets. And no real surprise. I mean, Mason Appleton being left available up front is not a surprise, but that's kind of been the most popular selection, I guess, in mock drafts for Seattle. But on defense, the Jets protected Logan Stanley ahead of Dylan DeMello. And this apparently is a really hot topic in Winnipeg. And I'm not sure why. I mean, well, I guess I have some idea why, is that Jets fans look at Logan Stanley and see this big defenseman, and boy, people love big defensemen. But Dylan DeMello is, you know, he's not huge. He's like 6'1", 195 pounds. But DeMello is actually a good defenseman. And let me tell you, there is more value to having good defensemen than there is to having big defensemen. And that is why I would have protected DeMello. Because if you're the Winnipeg Jets and you look at that roster is a team that needs to compete right now. You've got Connor Hellebuck kind of at the peak of his powers. You've got a forward group that includes Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler and Kyle Connor, Nikolaj Ehlers. You have guys who are in their primes producing right now. They need to compete right now. Taking a chance here that Logan Stanley is going to develop in next season and the year after to be as valuable as Dylan DeMello is probably not the play I would have made. And in the case of... I think there's a risk here that you lose Dylan DeMello. It's not a for sure because, as I say, Mason Appleton could be a pretty desirable piece for Seattle. But I would much rather force Seattle to decide between Mason Appleton and Logan Stanley than between Mason Appleton and Dylan DeMello. Because I think if you're the Jets and your defense is already an issue, getting rid of one who is actually good is not going to make you better. Strange take there. There we go. There are surprise protections for the expansion draft. Tomorrow we will dig in and I will actually pick a team and we'll provide more analysis and in-depth nature then. But also check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. We're starting into the second half of the season. Down the stretch we come and hope that we can lead you to league titles. Find these podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get podcasts.